And how many of you know that sometimes us preachers, we like to exaggerate? And so Brother Ken saying anything about what kind of preacher I am, that's just him being a kind mentor and friend. And you folks around here, you probably already know it, but the Lord sure give you one of the best preachers in the country. And I love finding stuff online and listening to him. And I always get highly nervous. It's an honor, but I always get highly nervous to preach here. I know the caliber of your pastor and how I respect him and all the years he served the Lord and how God's used him. I am one young man that thanks God for my heritage and for older men that have paved the way and can guide us along the way. There's no shortcuts to experience. And boy, we've got a treasure in folks that's been down the road and what they've learned and how they can help us. And so I thank God for the opportunity. Pastor, I sure love you. Luke chapter number 5. I just want to help you and encourage you this morning. I'll do my best to be very brief and to just give you exactly the main part of this message and what the Lord's laid on my heart. And I believe it's highly important for these days we live in. Probably meets us right where we at. And will encourage us. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," or the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, prayed him that he would thrust him out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Boy, that's some good places to be in our life with the Lord. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes." And notice now, "and their net brake. When they beckoned unto the partners, they were coming to the other ship. They come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken." And then notice verse number 11. "When they had brought their ships to land," I love this, "they forsook all." Of course, we got here the sons of Zebedee, James and John and Peter, that inner three. "And they forsook all and followed him." By the help of the Lord this morning for a little while, I want to preach to you on this thought, serving on credit. Serving on credit. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, God, one more time we pray that you would help us now. God, you know the needs of the hour. God, you know every heart, every life. God, I pray you'd speak to those that are lost or walking at a distance. And then, Lord, as you've charged my heart this morning, I pray you'd take this word and encourage the saints of God about how valuable they are to the church and to what you're doing in these days. God, it may be dark, but it's never been a better day for us to be able to do something for the glory of God. And Lord, they all matter. They all count. A pastor can't pull without a core of people. Lord, you've always been in the team business. Lord, touch me as thy little servant this morning. Lord, I can't do it without you. I wouldn't want to try. May you, the Holy Ghost, be the honored guest and exalt the Lamb of God, the only and the main attraction. May we see him today. And may we leave different than we come in. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's mighty holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, of course, this is some action scripture, and I'm going to preach this introduction fast. You hang with me this morning, but this is action-packed scripture here. And, of course, the Lord is on the move, and he's building his ministry, and he's calling his disciples. And so he's beginning to prove who he is. And so in chapter number 4, he's just healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and God is beginning human flesh to show who he is and the power that he has. And so, of course, as they come out of that, they want him to stay. And the Lord says that I can't always be right here in my manifested in flesh and in my manifested presence. But he said, I got other places to go, but I will come back around. And could I just say this morning, because it's important, because I know I fight this at times, that no doubt if you love the Lord, you do as well, church. There's times that it feels like God's so close. And then there's other times that you wonder where in the world he's at. And then the devil will tell you stuff's wrong, or there's a problem with you, or just quit or back up because God must have forgot about you. But might I say, at the same way he told them that he had to go some other places in our life, there's a real application. And ladies and gentlemen, you won't always feel God. And I know he's everywhere, and of course, in factual or biblical sense. But I'm talking about his manifested presence. I'm talking about when you and God are so close and you can feel him and you hear him so easy and so well. But guess what? The same God that come back around the Sea of Galilee area, the same God that spent most of his ministry around there, is the same God that sits high and lifted up in heaven that we serve if you're saved today. And he may not always be around, but he will come back around. And I promise you, if you stay faithful and stay around the things of God, he'll be around more times than he won't be. And he'll show up. It may not be on our time, but God will always come back around on time and meet the needs that we have. Don't you quit when you feel like you're in a dry place in your Christian life. And then he comes down and he wants to teach some lessons here to these disciples. And no doubt he wants to show Simon Peter in particular some things that he's preparing him already for that big day of preaching on Pentecost. And remember this morning, God is always in the long play in our Christian life. God's not a microwave God, and he don't run microwave Christianity. We live in an American society that it's always too slow, but God will meticulously and very carefully and very slowly build us for main purposes in our life. An old preacher that's in heaven now told me, he said, God will let you do many things for him in your Christian life, but everything's building towards one main purpose. And I thought this morning, the man that was gifted enough to do that parking lot and be a blessing at the church, the men that would work around here or build things, folks that teach, or those of us that preach, everything in Brother Ken's life made and molded him for when he come to this church and God birthed Liberty Baptist Church. All of the things in your life, all that you go through, the good and the bad, is building towards God's main purposes in our life. And he's going to start to do some things in Simon Peter here, and I believe it'll be a blessing to us. Let me give them to you this morning. Notice with me, first of all, his invitation was merciful. His invitation was merciful. What do you mean? And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, Simon Peter's done been fishing all night. And those of you that know anything about fishing over there back in them days, they ain't got Zebco, and they ain't got no bait casters, and they sure ain't got no Johnson 150s on the back of the boat. Can I get a witness? The toughest, baddest men in that whole area was them boys that was running the lake and was fishing. They doing their own rowing. They doing their own throwing of them big old school nets. They pulling in. And the Sea of Galilee ain't no little crystal clear creek. That ain't no big deal. Everybody always paints it that way. But it's in a bowl like a football stadium. You ever go over and see it. And there's storms that are always coming up. And there's currents always pulling in that Sea of Galilee. And it can be real clean or real calm rather. And then a whole lot of times it's rough. And them waves is like the ocean down at the beach that like we would relate to. It's a lot of hard work and it's difficult. And I say that to say when Simon Peter's been out all night, him and them boys have been fishing and doing everything they can, they tired. And you know the only thing that's more tired than having to row and fish all night is to do all that and catch nothing. It's not so bad if you catch something. But man, they done caught nothing. They're down on their business. It's cost them money. They ain't been able to catch anything. They've worked all night. Only thing they're thinking about is going to bed. Only thing they're thinking about is their self and their problems and their frustrations and their fatigue. But guess what? And just like the Lord, old Brother Vance Havner, a preacher of yesteryear that wrote many great books, he said this. He said, the Lord will never come by when it's convenient.
He'll always want to fellowship or send you a measure of revival in your heart and do something for you when you're the least prepared or when you're the most tired or when the least amount of anything in your heart feels like anything spiritual, because he wants us to prove, do we really love him or not? And here's old Simon Peter. They didn't wash the nets. They didn't pack the boat up. They didn't tie everything down. And man, they're ready to go to the house. And here comes the Lord. And could I just throw this in there? He didn't ask permission to get on the boat. When you're God and you own it all, you don't have to ask nobody's permission for anything. Jesus Christ stepped onto his boat, turned around, and that boat's a picture of his life, and it's a picture of our lives. And he turns around and he looks back at him and he says, Simon, I got some big things I need to do. I want you to come and launch me out a little. I need to preach to these people over here. I want to use your boat. And listen, I know that Simon Peter gets it right as far as he does go with the Lord, but let's not over-spiritualize the text. He is a human. He is just like the rest of us. You know, on the inside, there was a war going on. Kind of like this. Every now and then, somebody will publicly ask you to do something. It's kind of hard to say no, ain't it? I've been guilty of that a time or two. We was in a meeting, Brother Ken. I got a couple of good buddies. We more like brothers than friends. I mean, we've done everything together. And they was down there and the Lord got to move and I couldn't get to them. And so I felt like the Lord was in it. I figured they'd be all right with it. And so I pledged to the Lord. I said, I believe God wants to take up an offering for this and what's going on and how God's moving up here. And I said, I'll go ahead and speak for my two buddies over here. And I said, all three of us will pledge X amount. And I didn't even ask them. Well, it'd be awful hard for them to say no, wouldn't it? That's kind of the shape we're in. You ever had somebody volunteer you for something? You ever been in church before and somebody say, hey, brother, would you be willing to do that? You may be on the inside saying, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm overcommitted, I don't feel like doing that. But with 200 folk looking at you and somebody asking you something, especially if it's spiritual about Jesus, it's hard to say no. Go home and your wife says, well, if you got all that going, why'd you say yes? You look at her and say, well, would you have said no in front of everybody? It's not easy. But you know, Simon on the inside is thinking, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I don't really feel like doing this. But you know what got him through somewhere in those few moments where he's got this decision to make? Because Jesus didn't make him row the boat. He got on the boat. He had to initiate it. You don't initiate God using you. You can't initiate God moving in your life. You can't initiate God putting prayers in your heart to pray and him wanting to do something for you, your family, or somebody. But when the Lord does show up, the decision is ours. There's parts in that where we got to respond to God when God's on the move. And in those moments that Simon Peter has, somewhere in there, he had to make his mind up. He had to make a decision. And here's where he had to come to. In order for him to overcome all that fatigue and all that being down about not catching nothing and all the tired and all the inconvenience, he had to determine this, that it was a privilege to sail with the Master. Can I tell you something? Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night, any type camp meeting's coming up, I heard him mention, it ain't always going to be easy to come. There'll be a million reasons not to, but you want to know why. America used to have such strong churches, and there's so much God, we could push a lot of this darkness back that is destroying our land now, because there was real Christian men and women who had an understanding, and the heartbeat was like them couple of men I heard in there this morning, saying I woke up this morning and just thought, man, it's a privilege to be saved. I don't even deserve to go to heaven. I couldn't wait to get to church. And we live in such a society of distractions and fatigue, and we're so run and beat down and we're so stressed out. It's hard sometimes, and everything inside of us says, I can't do anything, and I'm too tired to plug in with God, or I'm too tired to volunteer for this or use my talents at the church for that. But you hear me this morning. I didn't have to come preach today on my way home from vacation. You didn't have to come to church today. We got to come to church today. I don't have to preach. I get to preach. You don't have to worship or pray. You get to. We don't have to come at 10:30 and pray in there. We get the privilege. While a whole world's dying and going to hell, God has given such grace and mercy in our life. Could have been born in the Middle East somewhere and hardly have a chance to hear the gospel. But here we are in the South, in the Bible bell down in Georgia, and you got a real church and a real pastor, and the Lord moves around here, and you could have been anywhere, but here God has planted you. And even on our worst of days, on our time, I don't always go to the pulpit fired up. If I only preached when I felt like it, you might have needed some more singing this morning. Boy, there's times you just say, boy, I'm tired, or I'm this, but you know what I always find? If you just say, Lord, anything for you, I want to be faithful to where you're at. I want to be faithful to the house of God, because that's where you're going to meet with me and what you told me to do. And Lord, you come on my boat at any time, whether it's 3 a.m., whether it's the worst day or the best day, any time we use a privilege, you will find that you may not feel like it in the beginning, but you go to getting around God, and you go to God doing something in you, and I've never regretted any time I've took a sail with the master. Boy, we got to get back to recognizing that it's a privilege to serve God. If you serve around here, it's a privilege to teach, privilege to clean carpets, privilege to shake hands, privilege to pray together. We have gotten to a place in America where we think we deserve everything, and God owes us something is what it's bled into. But you hear me today, God don't owe you or me anything. Anything the north side of hell's the grace of God. And it's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be around God. And if that gets to stirring in our heart again, and we see that it's mercy and grace, and it's a privilege to, even for God to put something in our heart, it'll change the way we respond to God and the things He wants out of our lives. Man, of all the boats, what about that? He chose old Simon's. And every now and then when God gives you something in your life out of everybody, boy, it ought to humble us that He chose us. I think about that a lot of times in my life. Out of anybody He could have called to preach, man, He chose an old rebellious teenager that was saved and running from God. Had such mercy on me. Think about in your life. You say, boy, sometimes I can't handle a burden to pray. I can't handle somebody asking me to do this. I don't have no more for this. But think, when the God of heaven that flung stars off His fingertips, the one that scooped out the ocean basin, spoke, I literally stepped out on nothing, took nothing, and spoke everything into existence, that big God that controls it all, out of anybody in the whole wide world, when He puts something in your heart to pray, or put something in your heart to do, to love on somebody, or to do for Him, out of anybody, He's trusting you, or He's trusting me. That ought to melt our heart. That ought to make us want to get on the boat. Now notice with me, not only was His invitation merciful, His involvement was mysterious. Look at the end of verse number 3. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And I moved through this quickly, but you hear me this morning. All of us have probably got the mindset, and we even sort of preach it that way. I just mentioned to you how good God will be if you'll serve Him. But it don't always play out that way in the beginning. God's in the long play. You can't just come to church and pour your heart out to God and shout and worship, and in 2 months God will do everything you ever want. Fix all the bad, do all the good, and you get it all. Why? Well, if we did that to our kids, what kind of brats would they be? If you never told them no, if you never disciplined at all, if you never had to have some tough days with them, we'd have some teenagers like running around this country right now that can't nobody do nothing with. Well, God's a better father than any of us. He's not raising brats. He's trying to raise some spiritual warriors, some gracious servants that God can use time after time after time. So He knows in Simon Peter's life, He can't just give him everything at Pentecost in 2 months. Old Simon would have blew the whole world apart. So guess what? Launch out a little tired. I'm on your boat. Come on, son. It ain't convenient, but it's a privilege. Let's go. Simon gets out there. No doubt he probably had it in his heart because he's just a sinner and he's just flesh like us. He's rowing. I told you there ain't no trolling motor. There ain't no Johnsons. They ain't got anything. He's pulling it forward. He's working it backwards. He gets the Lord where he wants. And no doubt probably the Lord just said this. Hey, hold me right here. I got some business to take care of. As the old preacher man used to say, some of the stories are in the white parts between them black words. You got to use your mind, your imagination, understand the text. The Lord says, all right, that's good, Simon. And no doubt Simon thought, he's fixing to turn around, tell him who I am, mention my boat. Maybe name a building after me at the church. You know how it is. The most dangerous thing at church is after a meeting when the preacher or whoever was over it goes to thanking people and calling names. I start ducking. Because if you forget somebody, it could go south. I mean, we do it for the Lord, but we better not be forgotten either. Can I get a witness? We all made out of the same stuff. And it's hard sometimes. His involvement was mysterious. He's looking. He's rowing. He's doing all the work. And then the Lord turns his back on him and gives all his attention to the crowd that didn't put nothing into it. They just hanging out, standing there, seeing what the Lord can do. So what are you talking about, preacher? Because I come to say this morning, there's always a church within a church. Some of you, you may not even be saved. I'm so glad you're here. Others of you may be growing in the Lord, or some of you ain't plugged all the way in yet. I'm not here to fuss at you at all. I'm so glad you come, and I'm so glad that you're here on Sunday morning. I pray God continues to grow you and give you a greater depth, and you really plug in at this church, and you really get anchored in. But I will say this morning, for those of you, there's always a remnant. There's always a core, if you will, and they do most of the giving, most of the praying. For you. And then you wonder, this is mysterious. This don't make no sense. What's going on? And some of you this morning, you may feel like you're in that same place. But we'll always get there at times, especially in these days. There's such warfare on God's real people. What's the lesson that we're taught here? All of a sudden, Simon's got a choice to make. And he said, if I quit on the Lord, I sure ain't going to see it. I sure ain't gonna have him do nothing in my life. So you know what he decided to do? It's real deep theology here. He just said, you know what? I don't understand it. I don't really know how it's all gonna turn out, but I'm just gonna keep rolling. Sometimes no preacher's gonna have a real deep word for you. If this is all they don't magical statement. But I tell you, what'll work in your life more times than you believe. And we're in the same place you are at times. I don't always know what God's doing. But sometimes you just gotta keep rolling. And then all of a sudden, when the crowd goes away, the Lord turns around and says, Simon,
yes, sir.
Guess what? If I told you everything I was up to, it wouldn't be faith. He said, but because you kept rowing, he said, let's watch out in the deep. And he says, as a matter of fact, Simon, this whole day wasn't about them, even though you probably thought it was. You thought I forgot you, but this whole day was actually all about you. He said, but I had to teach you a lesson. That you have to learn to be willing to serve on credit for others before you even get anything yourself. You got to learn in the Christian life, Simon, if you're going to serve me and be a disciple, if I'm going to use you, you got to be able to rejoice when other people get the blessing as much as if you got the blessing. In other words, here's what the Lord's telling. He says, Simon, you got to be able to handle the boat paddle before you can handle the pulpit. Now you say, well, I mean, most of us, we ain't preachers. That's true. I'm about done, but hear me this morning.
this pulpit, you could make the application in this story. It's God's perfect will and God's best for your life. It's that prayer request you want so bad. It's that burden you wish God would lift. It's that dream you wish God would bring to pass. And you say, the way to get there has got to be with just me and me doing what's best for me and me working hard to get it and me focusing on what I need. That's what the world would say. But God's always the opposite. The way up with God is down. If you want that pulpit, if you want God's best, tell you where it comes. It comes by making a conscious decision to say, even if the Lord puts all His focus on other people, even if I'm tired in the middle of the night, even if I got 100 problems at home, if the Lord says for me to help somebody else, it's a privilege. And then here's where we got to come to. We got to make a decision that we're willing to row for other people. You're willing to say, Lord, even if you do it for them, before you do it for me, it's all right. You know the old statement, we're okay if God gives so-and-so a new car just as long as we wait for first. Us Baptists, we're real good at a lot of things, but sometimes we're real hard at shouting over other people's blessings. Say, preacher, how do I know if I'm handling the Lord the best? How do I know if I'm right with God? How do I know if I'm truly serving on credit? How do I know if I'm doing what Simon Peter did so I can get God to say, watch out with me? Maybe you can measure it this way. Would you pray just as hard for somebody else's lost child as you would yours? Is your heart that tender? Let's say this morning, you got to help me. Would you be willing this morning to say, you know what? Because here's how God works the economy of heaven. You can always pray for somebody else better than you can yourself. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself, but most of the time, God will work it out. Well, let's just say me and Brother Keenan, me and preachers got the same problem. The way it usually works, I go to pray. We might get hooked in together one day. I'll pray for his need, not even mention mine. He'll be praying for me. That's how prayer works. I'll be praying over whatever he's got going on. He says, oh God, he's got the same thing. I pray for him. And God will hear his prayer for me. God will hear my prayer for him. And then God gets all the credit for all the glory. And we learn the secret of the Christian life. And that is, if you pull for others, if you can row for others like it's yourself, if you can prefer other people, as it says in the epistles, preferring another above ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Christ lived his whole ministry that way. You won't have any move in your life. You find somebody else that's got the same need, or a greater need, or something, you say, God, I need to make it all about me. I'm going to go find so-and-so and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to go find so-and-so and I'm going to pull from them. I'm going to roll in their life. I'm going to say, I got a heart for you. And I'm going to agree with you in prayer. And I'm going to pray every week for what you got going on. And I'm here for you. And you'll find that if you can handle the boat paddle correctly, there'll be a pulpit of purpose in your Christian life somewhere where God will show up. And God will show out. Maybe this morning your frustrations are like mine. You know what I found? Brother, you want to come back? Preacher, is that okay?
Yes.
Brother, you want to come back and see something for us? Maybe you're like me. And you know what happens, old Heath? I'm just transparent down there, preacher. I won't try to make it. I've heard a few that will make you think they skip on the clouds and lightning bolts go off in the Christian life all the time. That don't happen. Do you know what happens to me? Most of the time, old Heath, when I get in a mess, and I start being frustrated, and I start struggling with these things, I start telling God my big list of woes. You know what the Lord usually does? The Holy Ghost of God scoops it up close to my heart. He'll say, you know why you're here, don't you, boy? And I say, Lord, I've done this and I've done that. And I'm trying to fix this and I've been praying for that that I need. I've been dreaming for this and praying for that. We've got this burden. I've been praying. God said, that's right. But your buddy over here's got that need. You haven't mentioned him in a little while. That person over here's got the same thing you do and ask you to pray to me. It's that little Bible. I used to get so caught up with everything that's bombarding my own world and life of mine. You know what the Lord usually says? You'll get back to preferring others, acting like me. You'll get back to willing to serve in the shadows. That paddle, that boat going for others looks a whole others. The Holy Ghost can do that in your heart. I'm not here to try to manipulate anything, but God will tell you what you need to do. God will get on your boat and tell you where it rode. But if you'll just jump in the shadow and say, Lord, nobody ever may know who I am. You may give all your attention that way, and they may all think it's somebody else, but God, as long as you know that I love you, it's a privilege. I'll do anything you ask me to do for anybody. God, I'll shout for others and pull for others like it's myself. Before you get to that place, you get out of self, you get back into Jesus and others. You get back to putting the church in its right place in your life. You get back to plugging in. You get back to saying, God, I love the road. Show me somewhere at liberty. I'm glad to be here. I could have been at some dead church or in a place with no church, but you give me a great church and a pastor that loves us and a man that will preach the Bible with an anointing and people that will love each other. God, I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to hide out in the shadows. I don't want to be half-hearted.
Yes, sir.
You give it everything you got.
Yes, sir.
When we won't be a spiritual brand. You honor God's house. You honor God's ways in your life. You sail with the Master. You be faithful. One day He's going to turn around. He's going to say, let's launch out with me. Hey, it's way more in this story, but I've said enough this morning.
There's enough here today that we all respond to. Just even as simple as these other days Simon Peter did. Right here we are, church. Watch out. God will fill your nets. God will pour out everything in your life.
But you got to make the decision to set sail with the Master and row for others and serve on credit. Let's stand all over the building. Dear brother's going to sing. Maybe God's laid somebody on your heart. You want to go to them and encourage them or pray with them. Pull for their needs. Let them know you're there for them. Maybe you need to come pray yourself. Talk some things over with God. Pour some things out. All of it's in order. But while He sings, you mind the Lord this morning.
When Simon Peter walked oppressed, putting his faith he had to test, he said, Master, will thou
be church,
we come
on. Keep serving
to thee.
Keep using your talents. Keep giving it everything you got.
Jesus said,
come. Pray
for yourself. So Peter went.
Do you row for others?
And when the
sure
faith
right into your life, He'll be faithful.
Peter sang, Lord,
don't quit.
Jesus had ways. Will under His feet, under His feet, yes, under His feet. There's not a problem,
oh, God, help
that
today.
You face.
God, we pray for those prodigal children.
Lord,
there are citizens in the far country they're attached to. They need Jesus too.
Whenever
children, grandchildren, lost spouses in this church. Lord, we pray for those with health needs.
In water,
pastors, and all the burdens, dreams, desires He carries. Lord, we'll
run
for
them.
They run for us. We'll run for them. Lord, we pray for open fruits today. Lord, to all of us, we'll learn what old Simon Peter did out on the sea. God, that day. God, we pray for those with
us
that they don't even, can't even talk about
their
unspoken prayer requests. God, we pray with them.
We can't face
pray for them home, financial needs, job needs.
Anymore.
God, pray for those.
Forgetting
God, that are just looking at the road, God, and serve. We pray so some more. Great Christians in this church.
Before
God, that however You made them, they can just serve right there in the shadows.
We should look up.
God, we can change America. Just one boat paddle at a time.
He walks the
water. God, it changed the whole countries.
If
not in the
Lord, sure changed. Not our little town here. Where this church resides. Just loving God, loving people, making a difference. Oh God, let us leave here today being conscious of the privilege that it is to be saved. Privilege that it is to get to pray and read our Bible every morning. Yes, we get to. We don't have to love you, we get to. Oh God, what a privilege.
It's not a problem.
Be a part of the church. What a privilege. God,
He
stir our hearts over this story.
Whenever you've waded out too far in waters too deep, remember when waves are over your head, you're still under His feet.
Have you minded the Lord this morning? Got something on your heart while these are praying?
Under His feet.
Why don't you just bring it all to the Lord? It's under His feet.
It's all under His feet.
Faithful is who God is. He can't be anything else.
There's not a problem that
you need prayer. We'd love to pray with you. I'd love to believe God with you. I know there's others would too. You'll never regret serving the Lord. Never regret sailing with the Lord.
Too far in waters too deep. Remember when the waves are over your head, they're still under His feet. Still under His feet.